Hey friends, this is Becky Davidson, and you are listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast, where we share stories of hope and inspiration and encouragement from special needs families from all around the world. Now, before we get started with this week's episode, I want to make sure that you know about a new resource that we have available through Rising Above, and that is our Rising Above app. We are so excited to be able to offer an app for our family so that wherever you are around the world, any time of day, any day of the week, you can go to our app and you can find resources to help you on your journey as a special needs parent. On the app, we also have a prayer wall where you can go to the prayer wall and you can leave a prayer request. And we have people who go in every day and pray for those requests that are left by our families. We also have information about our community groups, also different events that we have coming up throughout the year. And then we have an encouragement page where you can go and find videos of different families sharing their stories. You can find blogs and graphics and just different things that are there to encourage you on your walk as a special needs parent. So be sure to download the app. It's free and it's just full of resources and encouragement for you on this journey. We'll have links to the app in our show notes, so be sure to check that out. Now, today, my guest is Katie Frugier. This was my first time to meet Katie. We had an amazing conversation, and you are going to want to be sure to check out everything she has to say. Katie is a stomach cancer survivor, and on top of that, she's also a special needs parent. She has three daughters, Eve, who is 9, Lizzie, who is 6, and Noelle, who is 1, and 2 of her daughters have special needs. Katie also has a PhD in systematic theology, and her primary area of interest is that of human dignity. And that's one of the things that we talk about in this conversation, is how that relates to her life as a special needs mom. I know that you're going to be so encouraged by what Katie has to share with us in this episode. Hey, Katie, thank you so much for joining me today for this episode. I'm so honored to get to meet you and have this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm really excited to get to talk with you.
Well, this is the first time we've actually ever met or had a conversation. And so I know a little bit about you from your bio, but I would love to know more about your family and your journey as a special needs mom. So introduce yourself to us, because I would love to know more about you.
Sure. So my name is Katie Frugier, and I was born and raised in the North Houston area. But when it came time to go to college, I wanted to go to what I called high school. I didn't want to go to high school 2.0. So I went out of state and ended up meeting and falling in love with a guy from Kentucky. So we met in Tennessee, and our story really begins there. And I think that's important, understanding our journey as special needs parents, because I remember when we were dating, my boyfriend, now husband at the time, were talking, late that one night in the commons areas, college students do. And we had heard about this hypothetical situation where a woman had this diagnosis and the doctors needed to give her treatment, but the treatment was going to, put her baby's life in jeopardy. And what do you do? And, we just, as classic college students, really had to hash it out and tried to talk about all the implications of doing those things. And at the time, it felt so far off. And so what if? Because honestly, I don't think anyone ever thinks, I'm going to have a special needs child one day, or I'm going to have these health problems one day. Mm-hmm. And so in a very cerebral kind of way, I remember at the time deciding, if that was ever me, I think I would lean in and be okay and trust the Lord with my life and with my child's life, and be just kind of lean into the unknown of what that future could hold. And so fast forward, got engaged, marriage later, a couple of years of marriage later, and found ourselves pregnant with our firstborn. And it just really was a pretty easy, pretty seamless pregnancy for the first bit of it. Everything seemed to be sailing along until one day it just wasn't. Mm. And I remember sitting in the ultrasound room, and it was just so dark and quiet, and you could just tell something was going on. And the doctor finally just breaking that silence by saying, "Katie, we're worried about your baby." And what she went on to describe is what she could tell on the ultrasound was that our oldest daughter, Eve, had survived miraculously some type of a traumatic event that had basically amputated two of her limbs, and the two remaining limbs had significant damage.
Wow.
And at the time, they were very concerned also about what internal damage there would be just looking at the external, what they could see.
Yeah.
So, skipping over a couple of highlights and stuff, but that was rough. And I remember, though, as we were processing and grieving through that, the Lord just bringing me back to those late night mm-hmm. conversations in college.
Wow.
And being like, "You're ready. You've got this. You know your answer." And
just
this crazy moment where the Lord had really gone before me to say, "You've got this. I'm going to follow you." And so I remember very clearly looking at her saying, "We're going to give her whatever life this is. We don't know what that's going to look like, but we're going to lean into this." It was a high risk pregnancy and definitely had a lot of ups and downs with it, but the Lord was faithful. Mm-hmm. And in that journey, we really learned his strength. And I think that was a big part of preparing us to be parents of a special needs child. I think there's often a misunderstanding of parents with special needs kids. And I've been told more times than I can count, and I'm sure you've heard too, God gives special children to special people.
Right. Yeah.
You hear that a lot.
Yes.
And I remember in that pregnancy, not feeling particularly special and not feeling particularly strong and really struggling with that. And, really trying to figure that out in my mind of, you hear people say this and that just doesn't seem true. Mm-hmm. And I just really started to recognize, though, that the Lord had allowed us to go through those experiences to discover his strength for the journey, that there really isn't anything special about us, especially these parents at all. But what's special is the Lord's strength to see us through that, and that he is trustworthy enough. He is strong enough. He's faithful enough. Mm-hmm. He's kind enough to help us even in the midst of those things. And so our story with Eve has a happy ending. I really did believe that the Lord had life for her, so we named her after life itself.
Love
we believed that. That was just mm-hmm. what the Lord had given her. That was her gift. And she was born with problems, but they weren't the extent of the problems weren't as bad as, they thought they would be. And she still has life. She does have disabilities. Yeah. She's had multiple surgeries. And, she has to deal with the daily impact of just being a disabled little kid, the pity looks, the bullying. We're getting a little bit older. She's 9. She'll be 10
this year.
I'm
getting ready to ask you how old she was. Yeah. That was
So we're 9 years into this journey now. And, it's got its highs and its lows, but it's okay. And
great. I'm thinking back to that. You had a choice in that moment, when you're finding out about the possible problems that your child's going to have. You had a choice in that moment as to how you were going to respond. And have you ever thought about, man, what if we had not responded the way we did? How different the journey may have looked. I think it's all special needs parents. You have that moment, that crossroads moment. And so what would you say to another parent who's facing that? How did you get to that place of going, "Okay, God, I'm going to trust you for this"? Because it's the hard decision to make.
It really is. And for me, I really believe the Lord was gracious in allowing that resolve to kind of take seed in my heart before I was put in that moment. However, that wasn't my experience with other things that would come to me in the future. So I do think that the Lord and his grace and his wisdom prepares you for the trial right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it may feel like something that you can't do, or it may feel like it's too much. But my experience time after time has been that he has prepared you for this moment, as overwhelming as it feels, even in the littlest ways, and to lean into that seed that he's planted in you and allow that seed to take root.
I love that. And it's like he gives you what you need for that moment, that you don't have to be prepared for, what the next huge big thing, but he's going to give you at that very moment what you need. Now you have Eve who's 9, but then you also have some another daughter with special
needs. Yes, I do. So we kind of had settled into our pretty little happy family of three with Eve, and we're really good at physical disabilities. We're the limb difference family. We really love that, you know, kind of moniker, and we thought we're going to really rock being the parents with a physically disabled child. And the Lord just really didn't think we were done learning. Mm. You know, when you think that you've got it figured out. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, we were happily surprised with a pregnancy with our middle daughter, Felicity, and we call her Lissy. And her pregnancy, because of Eve, was monitored very closely because Eve's final diagnosis was called amniotic band syndrome, and they don't know what causes it. So I had just a ton of ultrasounds throughout that pregnancy, and highs and lows, and they would see things and they would say, oh, we've got some red flags here. About halfway through the pregnancy, they saw some things that were very concerning in her brain, and we were crying out to the Lord. That was really hard. But at the same time, it was a lot of unknowns, because pregnancy, things can resolve. And so there was a lot of waiting on the Lord, trusting on the Lord with our fears, because just to be honest, we didn't want a mentally disabled child. We felt like that would be too hard. We just didn't know if we could handle that. It felt too hard in those, as we thought about the what ifs of all that future. Eve was as physically disabled as she was mentally sharp as a tack. And so we kind of, she could understand and experience the Lord's goodness. We could tell her what happened to her. And so we just were really anxious about what it would mean to have a child who maybe couldn't understand those things, and how could we shepherd that child's heart. Fast forward to the delivery, and they thought that some of the problems had resolved, because on an ultrasound, you just can't see that much in the brain.
Right.
So just to be clear and to be sure, we thought everything would be fine, but just kind of as a last minute check, they decided to go give her an MRI at about 48 hours old, because they'd seen she had a virus in her urine that they had picked up as just some lab work. And that MRI just showed them that Felicity had been born with not just moderate, but significant brain damage.
Oh my goodness.
They said that her brain looked like Swiss cheese was, I think, the term the neurologist used. That's a really nice way to describe your child's brain, right?
Right after you've delivered and
Yeah, postpartum, all those things.
All that. Yeah.
You know, they told us that she may never grow past a 6-month-old functionality. And they said, you know, maybe she'll get better than that, though. They kind of, the doctors give this great wide range of things so they can kind of cover. But we really had to grieve and mourn and recognize that this is real, and that this is significant, and she's going to have a lot of problems. Ultimately, her diagnosis was she was infected with a virus called CMV, the cytomegaly virus. And because of the virus's impact, it attacked her brain. She was born with, I guess you would say, severe to moderate cerebral palsy. So she is physically disabled, and then she's also intellectually disabled as well. However, you know, she's okay too. And that was, like we talked about before, the Lord gave us grace in that moment. And I can't pretend like that wasn't hard. That's still difficult to talk about. I honestly believe there is grieving too deep for words. And the first probably 48 hours after Felicity's diagnosis, I can't talk about too much just because there aren't words to describe
that deep pain.
I think all special needs parents can resonate with grieving the loss of future. The future that we thought we had. This sounds so silly, but when Felicity was diagnosed, I don't know why, but I just kept crying thinking about she's never going to go to homecoming. Like, I'm not going to get to go homecoming shopping and stuff, like little things like that. But I think that's a part of just the grieving process. And I think that's an important part of the process of being a special needs mom, because I had to allow who I imagined Felicity to be. I had to allow that idol to die in my heart so that I could love the child the Lord had given
me. You.
And once we were able to do that and embrace her, Man, she is a joy. She absolutely has her troubles, and she's got lots of things. She has epilepsy. She is a completely dependent on a caregiver for just all of major tasks of life and everything. But just like Eve means life, Felicity is named after laughter and joy itself. And she lives up to it. I honestly believe that the greatest gift that she has to give to the kingdom of God is her gift of laughter and joy. And that is her gift to give to us. And we would be so much poorer if we didn't receive that from her.
I love that. And, you know, I just hearing, you know, yes, we have to grieve. I think some people get stuck in grief, but we have to grieve those things. Like you said, going to homecoming, you know, I know when my son was turning 16, it was, you know, he's not going to ever drive a car. Now it's been, you know, he's not ever going to get married. And all along the journey, there's those grief moments, and you have mm-hmm. to process through that. That's
yes.
Of this journey. So you've got your two daughters with special needs. What does your day-to-day look like? You know, I have my one son with special needs, you know, solo parent trying to navigate that, but my word, what does your day-to-day look like with your two girls?
You know, honestly, I'm still trying to figure that out because the pandemic has thrown it into that.
Pre-pandemic, in the pandemic. Yeah, I know. Two totally different worlds.
It is a complete teamwork of many people. Mm-hmm. The main thing that I've had to really surrender is pride in recognizing that special needs means I'm going to need some extra help here.
Absolutely.
And letting people do that and step in those places that I need help. So Eve and Lissy are physically disabled. So both of them need somebody to be able to carry them. Eve might just need help, like, you know, maneuvering, but she's 9 now. So most of her life, it was just easier to carry her. So, you know, just very physically involved. So there's a lot of physical draining. So at the mm-hmm. end of the day, you know, we would just be so beat down just physically because just, you know, the kids get heavy. Felicity has high tone, and that can be difficult to carry a child with high tone mm-hmm. just because as much as they want to, they can't relax. They, you know, you hold up a normal baby. My third born is neurotypical, and it's so crazy to hold a baby that's neurotypical after holding Felicity for 7 years almost now. Cause I'm like, wow, you're so easy. It's like, you know how to intuitively do this, but a child with cerebral palsy doesn't always know how to do that very well. And that can be hard. And so a lot of juggling, a lot of balancing and carrying, a lot of therapy appointments. Oh my goodness. I jokingly said I was going to move into that therapy rehab place for a while.
It would be much easier sometimes, wouldn't it? You know, it's like, just give me a small little room in the corner. Yeah.
I really, or at least give me a nap room, please.
Yes, exactly. So you can go nap while they're doing therapy. Absolutely. I think we need to look into that. I think that's a great.
I would totally be on board with that.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. So you have a third daughter.
I do. Yeah. So our third daughter really isn't a miracle in and of herself as well, because again, the Lord just a little bit of grace every time. He gives you strength for the moment that you need right there. So we had Eve in 2011. In 2014, we had Felicity. And then in 2015, I was diagnosed with an incredibly rare genetic mutation that is similar to the BRCA, if you've heard of that one, for breast cancer.
Right.
But this one is for stomach and breast cancer. So basically the same numbers, scary stuff. And it was very significant and it was severe. And so I found myself with a 2 and a 4 year old and suddenly being told, you have one of the deadliest genetic mutations known to science and you have mm-hmm. to be treated for stomach cancer right away. And I just even in that moment alone, I was like, no, I have special needs kids. Yeah, I mean, this
is not computing here. This is not. Yeah. Wow.
We can't go down this here. But even in that, after a lot of wrestling with the Lord, and I mean a lot of wrestling with the Lord over that diagnosis, finally one day I remember it was almost as if after months of silence from him, the heavens opened up and he just, the only thing I could hear him say is, you're ready. Mm. I have brought you here. You're ready for this. So in 2016, I had to have my entire stomach removed for stomach cancer.
Wow.
Following a very long recovery process because you can eat without a stomach. That's always the number one question I get with that, but it's hard. And there's a pretty long, intensive learning process on how mm-hmm. to get your body, your eating habits to adjust to that. So our family, we never felt like we were done. Even though we had these two girls and we were kind of settled in, there was almost a grief thinking like, there just is an emptiness here. This wasn't how it was supposed mm-hmm. to be. And so we talked with our doctors about it, and there wasn't medically a reason not to go for it. And so we just leaned into the unknown again. And so I was able to conceive and carry our third daughter wow. without a stomach, which was a crazy ride in and of itself. Wow. And I think at the time, my doctor did tell me I was the only woman in the DFW area who was pregnant without a stomach, that they had just never seen anything like that before. So that was also a high-risk pregnancy because of my pre-existing conditions. And it was a struggle at the end, and she ended up having to come a little bit early, but she has been the joy, that bookend that we needed in our family. And she's fun. She has no idea how weird our family is, and I love it.
That's so, she just fits right in, goes right. And what is her name?
Noelle.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Sweet. So you've got three girls, two with profound special needs, and then you've had your own health issues.
Yes.
And, you know, I dealt with health issues with my husband. And so I know how hard that is, trying to juggle all of that and make that all work. But it sounds like you all are doing it beautifully. And I know there's good days and bad days. And
definitely, you know, we stub our toe. We stub our toes a lot.
Absolutely. You know, and I've, from your bio, I read your bio and I was like, oh my goodness, she is like, you have a PhD in systematic theology, and your interest is in human dignity. And I find that so interesting in light of you being a special needs mom. And so share a little bit about your heart as it relates to that passion that you have for human dignity.
The two can't be any closer. I studied and got interested in human dignity and this idea of the image of God because I am a special needs mother. Mm-hmm. It really kind of started, to be honest, because I was looking into special needs accommodations. So I was reading one day, my daughter Eve especially is a qualified person for a service dog one day. Uh-huh. And so we were looking into the possibility of getting her a service dog just to be able to help her open doors. If she falls down, it can help her get up and everything. Thing. And this is so crazy, but Lissy had just been born. And so we were still kind of dealing with her issues and stuff. And I remember reading this line in this guidebook about, you know, dogs. And it said, you really need to wait till the child is over this age because the average dog has the functionality of a 3-year-old child. So you need the child to be over 3 years old, which is a pretty benign statement. But in light of just being told I was going to be parent to a child with these profound mental disabilities, mm-hmm. I had this kind of internal crisis. Because in theology, there's this kind of historical idea that says that the image of God, or at least what I've been told several times in the church, is that the image of God is our ability to speak, our rational functionality, our ability to talk and engage with one another, that that's the image of God. And as a special needs mom, I looked at my beautiful baby and I said, she may never talk. Mm-hmm. And she might not ever go past a 3-year-old functionality mentally. So what do I do when an animal who is not made in the image of God has more functionality, rational mm-hmm. functionality than my child does? And that really sent me down this path of researching and learning and committing myself to understanding what is human dignity, where is that based in, and how do we understand the image of God in a way that includes and embraces all of God's beautiful mm-hmm. children, not just, you know, the ones who can talk well and the ones who can ration Absolutely. And, you know, do all these things. And so that really is where that started, is it just understanding that the image of God is something that is beautifully embedded in each of us. Genesis 3 and Genesis 1 talk about how God is made male and female in his image. And there's no exception, there's no caveat, that all are made in the image mm-hmm. of God. And there's something specifically unique about humanity that he's put that image on us. And with that stamp of his image, that gives us a certain dignity, a certain worth, a certain just worthiness that we can advocate for all of us, regardless of race or gender or ability or function or anything like that. So that's really where my interest and understanding about human dignity came from. It started with my just interest being a special needs mom, but it really expands into any people group or community that's marginalized or seen as less than.
And what, you know, in our community, in the special needs world, you know, we encounter that time and time again, even in the church. And mm-hmm. so I think for people to learn to see our children as wonderfully made, just that they are created by God with God's image, just like every other person on the planet.
Yes.
What an important lesson for us to all learn to that, you know, if people could get that deep in their hearts to see everyone the way God does, that we are created the way he is, what a better world we would live in, you know?
I think it changes everything on its head. If we stopped seeing, especially individuals with disabilities and children with special needs as objects of ministry, that's the one thing I've seen over and over again. And it just breaks my heart is, you know, this is a person for me to serve. This is a person that, you know, and that could be true because we're the body of Christ and we need one another. But what if we also started recognizing that we need them as much as they need us,
Absolutely.
That they have something to give us. So,
you know, and my husband, my late husband used to always say that my son had taught him more than any other teacher he'd ever had. And I can say the same thing, you know, that John Alex has taught me more about how to do life than any other human on this face of the earth. And he's never said a word in his whole
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So what would you say about your girls and your journey with them and your own health issues? What has God taught you? What has God shown you through raising your daughters and through your own health challenges that mm-hmm. you face? What has God showed you through that?
What he really showed me, he brought to me from another one of his saints. And so I'm not going to claim this as original to me, but I claim it so much as my own mantra that it's near and dear to my heart, that joy and sorrow are not mutually exclusive.
Yes.
That it is completely possible for you to live in a joyful life and there to be happiness and there to be the fullness of God's presence, which is his joy. And at the same time, it's okay for there to be hurt and for there to be sorrow. The example I give sometimes for that is when I talk to people about the first time Eve started really walking. And basically Eve had to have several surgeries and so much therapy. When she was born, her surviving leg was literally shaped like a J. Mm-hmm. So she had to have a Ponseti casting, AFOs, lots of therapy, countless hours of stretching and rubbing her muscles out. And then ultimately several surgeries on her tendons to get her foot actually able to stand up. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, her prosthetic is the most difficult kind. She has what's called a disarticulated hip prosthetic. So she doesn't have a hip at all. Like her entire leg is missing. So every time you lose a joint, the difficulty increases by 10%. Mm-hmm. So her leg is literally 1,000 times harder to walk than mine, just walking around is. With all that said, the day that she started walking in that rehab clinic, there wasn't a dry eye. We were boohooing with joy. It was the most beautiful thing ever. You can imagine watching a beautiful 3-year-old say, "Mommy, I did it. I can do it." And just running. Oh, it was so joyful. It didn't take away the sting that I wish she didn't have to have gone through all of those things to get there. So joy and sorrow, time and time again, I have found it's okay for them to coexist mm-hmm. and I can have enough space in my heart for both of them.
For both of those. Wow. And you know, it's amazing just hearing your journey and hearing what you've been through and hearing how your faith has carried you through. You know, I know that we all have moments where we may question and we go, okay, why God? Why again? Why is this happening again? But it sounds like you have, I like to say, settled it in your heart that God is good and that his plans for you are good. And so I love hearing you share those parts of your story. Now, I know you're married. How long have you been married?
This year will be 14 for us.
14 years. So, and so share a little bit about your journey with your husband. I know, So often so many marriages get stretched and, you know, it's hard. It is hard being a special needs parent when there's when one of the spouse has medical issues as well. It adds a whole nother mm-hmm. layer onto that. So share a little bit about your love story and then how, I know you met in college, but how have you all navigated this journey of having children with special needs, having your health issues, and what advice would you give to other people who may be on the verge of saying, you know, throwing in the towel or just like, I can't keep going? What would you say?
First of all, I would say it's hard and it's okay for you to feel like it's hard. Mm-hmm. There are hard days, and even in the best of marriages, there's going to be days where, like even yesterday morning, my husband and I just stopped and I said, we're just not communicating right now. Like we're just not saying, we're talking over one another.
Yeah.
I would say there's a couple of things. The first thing I think that has really been a lifesaver in our marriage is we've really been committed to say, I'm with you, period.
Yeah.
And with that safety of knowing I'm in this for the long run, mm-hmm. it's given us permission to have bad days and to say, I don't like this, or to say, I'm struggling with this, because it's really given us that safety net to be able to do that. I have also really become a believer in allowing my husband to go through his process and his grieving and to respect how that's going to impact him and not try to change or guide that. And he's having to do the same for me as well, that recognizing that while we're committed to one another, we're different people and we're going to respond to these things differently. He's a husband. He's a provider. His personality type is a protector. And so that's hard for him when the people he loves, you know, he can't protect and things.
Right.
So I need to respect and allow him to process those things and not try to control that. My personality in our marriage, I'm a peacemaker, which is really hard. So like, I just want to smooth everything over. I want things to be okay. And when he's not okay, I've really had to learn that I need to respect that mm-hmm. and not try to fix it for him.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, still supporting. I'm a big supporter of just mental health and taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. There have been seasons where we've been in therapy. There have been seasons where we're individually in therapy. I think that having that support system, it doesn't have to be formal therapy. I would recommend it. I think it's a great tool. But taking that as a priority and knowing that it's okay to need something like that, mm-hmm. I think is very important.
There's no shame in that. There's no shame.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, We definitely have tried to prioritize that. And then the last couple of months have been probably one of the best for our marriage. And I'll tell you, the secret sauce has been respite and making date nights a priority. Mm-hmm. It sounds silly. Sometimes I kind of have this Wonder Woman complex sometimes that I really have to surrender my pride. I can't think of a better marriage tool than respite care. Special needs parents have to juggle so much and it will take a toll on your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so somehow we have been blessed. We live in a state where we've got respite care provided through the insurance company because of the significance of our daughter's disability. I know not everyone has that, but if the church can provide it, if you have family members that can provide it, it is okay to need a break mm-hmm. from your kid. And that is hard sometimes to tell people.
Yeah. Well, and I think also I think so often parents, and I'm going to say moms, it's a lot of times it's the mm-hmm. moms don't want to give up that control of letting somebody else come in. And I think if you can get to the place of realizing, no, this is for the benefit of the entire family, for us to take this time to, even if it's, you know, even if you're having to have a date night at home, but you've got somebody else watching the kids, however it works in your world, but to make that a priority, because it's not just for the two of you, it benefits the entire family. And I think so often families get stuck in that. Well, like, you know, we can come up with a million and one excuses as to why it can't happen. But the reality is we can make things happen if we really want to make them happen.
We really can. And it is not easy. And I know that there are some situations are more complex than others for sure. But I do believe this is an area where the church really has an opportunity mm-hmm. to step up as well. Just having honest conversations, saying, we want to bless you with a date night out. It doesn't even have to be once a week, you know, maybe once a month. We want to bless you. What would it take to help you be comfortable here? What training would we need? Mm-hmm. Or how could we help financially support you? So if it's a nurse that needs to come in or something mm-hmm. like that. But I honestly believe that has been in some ways the thing that saved our marriage during the chaos and the tension of the pandemic, was being intentional and bringing in that respite so we could have some just time together. Yeah. Genuinely, I think was a game changer for us.
Yeah. When you look at your girls, you know, the world sometimes doesn't see our children, obviously, the way we do, and see the value that we see in our kids. What do you want people to see when they look at your girls?
Well, I can tell you two things. First thing I would say is I just want you to see them as humans who mm-hmm. have life to give. I really get kind of mama bearish when I can tell people are looking at them with pity. If you want to bring out my mama bear really
Same
fast.
Here. Same here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are not objects for your pity.
Absolutely.
Just recently, my daughter Eve, she's really fun because she is getting old enough to speak for herself now and mm-hmm. advocate for herself. And recently someone asked her, what would you tell somebody? Like, what do you want people to think about kids who have special needs? And she blew me away. At 9 years old, she looked straight at the camera and she goes, children with special needs are survivors. Wow. Children with special needs are powerful and we can celebrate that. And I was like, gracious. Oh my
wow.
goodness.
But she had to hear that from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm yeah. sure those are things that
absolutely
mom had told her. And I think that's an important thing for parents to hear. Our children mm-hmm. believe what we speak about them. And so over yes. her life, you have spoken truth and life and power that she can do these things instead of that she can't. And so then when she yes. has the opportunity to share, that's what she sees about herself.
That's what's in her heart. That's what she's been bred into her heart from. And I'll also tell you, and I know you mentioned that your son hasn't spoken either. So Felicity is nonverbal. She'll be 7 in 2 weeks. We are very clear with her caregivers. You may not talk about certain things in front of her. You
Absolutely.
Don't talk about things that aren't appropriate in front of a 7-year-old. We do not talk over her mm-hmm. and we don't talk about her again, as an object of pity or anything. So that even goes for the more severely disabled children and stuff like that. I genuinely believe that that has had an impact in her ability to just feel loved and embraced. I think any child, regardless of what their ability or disability is, knows when they're loved.
Absolutely.
And that's our gift that we have to give them. And that they can show that back out. A child knows when they're loved and there's safety and beauty there. And I'll tell you what's so funny is watching the difference that that's created in Felicity as we've welcomed a baby into our house, of letting there be some just differences there and saying, oh no, this is baby and that's not you. So when she does act out, because that's another thing I think sometimes people don't think about, is just special needs kids still sometimes can be toots. Mm-hmm. And even yeah. my nonverbal 7-year-old, sometimes she's the worst of them all. She's got a strong opinion and she knows how to play to people's assumptions about her.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that people underestimate or that she doesn't understand. And so we had to really push with her. This is not appropriate behavior. Look, this is what the baby's doing and you're not a baby anymore. And we will not, you know, there's obviously grace and there's
Absolutely.
Always,
right.
you know, a little bit there. But, you know, I just think about how when she started school back up this fall, she kind of got in trouble for pushing some kids around. And they're like, we don't think she understands. And I was like, oh, no,
she gets it. Yeah.
She does. And so we had some come to Jesus times. And every morning before she had to go to school, yeah. she had to tell me, you know, she can't talk, but she can nod her head. Mm-hmm. And I said, will you listen and obey? Will you be kind? And it was like, well, mom, I don't want to do that. But what it became very clear, she understood the expectation, mm-hmm. but she knew that the people around her didn't expect that of her
exactly.
and just assumed she doesn't understand. So I imagine there might've been some talking over her, but the school quickly was able to understand and recorrected.
and see that, no, she gets it. That's what I say. I'm like with my son, it's like, no, he totally gets it. And so let's, gotta be careful with what you say and how you say it. But I think that goes back again to the, to seeing the value of our children, to seeing them that even if they are nonverbal, even if they are non-ambulatory, but there is value and worth, and they bring so much joy into our lives, and for other people to be able to see that.
And I think they bring it to others' lives as well. I think that's part of allowing the church or family or the community to be a part of that, whether it be through respite services or something. I really had to realize I need to let other people love her too.
That's a good word.
And I want people to love her the way I love her. I know how valuable and worthy she is of people's love. And it's been one of the most just biggest blessings of my personal life to see others fall in love with my daughter the way that I love her.
It is,
it's hard because we've got to trust, you know, and that's you know, we trust carefully because they are precious and they are so vulnerable. But at the same time, when you are able to have that, it's a beautiful thing. And I think it, going back to human dignity, I think it really speaks to and affirms that dignity that they have, that it's not just a face a mother could love. No, this is a beautiful soul that anybody who got to see it could instantly fall in love with.
Could not agree more. You know, I was sitting here thinking, you had two pregnancies where you went in to have ultrasounds, where you got news that was pretty devastating to hear. I know that there possibly are some moms who are right now listening, who maybe have just gotten a diagnosis in the womb, in utero. They had an ultrasound, and they may be wondering what they're going to do and how they're going to handle this. What would you say to those moms who maybe have just, or dads who have just gotten this word, and maybe some people are saying, you know what, your life would be better if you didn't carry on this pregnancy? What would you say to those parents?
The first thing I would tell them is what, again, a very sweet fellow special needs mom told me when I found out about Felicity. She said, "I know that you're going to have some difficulties, but trust me, there is still great joy ahead." Mm-hmm. I think when people think about special needs, it sounds scary and it's overwhelming, and all of that is true, and I validate all those emotions. It is okay to be afraid, and it's okay to not know how you're going to do it. But what I can promise is, if you will allow the Lord to kind of carry you through this, I promise there is joy to be had in this journey. And it's joy that you can't even think about right now. What I tell people sometimes is, the grief that I experienced for my children, which was genuine, it was hard, it was ugly crying, it to an extent that I don't think I've ever experienced before, it carved these caverns in my heart that allowed me to grieve at a depth I never knew. But what I didn't know was happening is the inverse was happening as well. So as deep as my grief was going, it created in me the ability to feel joy I never knew before.
That is beautiful. And
I really do believe it, though, that there is so much joy to be had. It's gonna be hard. I'm not gonna make any pretenses that it's not, but I think what gets us through the hard days is the hope and the promise of the good days that are there, that they will be there if we have, it's going to take courage and it's not going to be easy all the time, but lean into it. I had to grieve saying goodbye to homecoming. I could not have imagined some of the joys that were coming at me though. And so grieving is okay, but there's joy to be had still.
Wow. I love that picture that you gave there about, you know, the up and down on your heart that allowed the joy, the grieving, then made the way for the joy to come. And, you know, as special needs parents, we experience both on a moment to moment day. You know, one moment you're in this camp and then we're in this camp, and, you know, but I think for we see the value and worth in our children. And when others can see that and get that, it just, it just validates and I don't know. It just is such a feeling when you see that other people get it and they see the value of our children. And I love your story, and I am so grateful for your willingness to share your heart with us and introduce us to your sweet family and share your journey. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so excited to get to talk with you and share our story. If anyone wants to connect with or has any follow-up questions, feel free. I think my Instagram handle, our family, will be on here with the show notes.
Absolutely.
And so we would be happy to just connect. Go look at my cute kids. They're adorable. They're on Instagram. So
I love it. What is your, we will put it in the show notes, but if you want to say it here, how they can find you. Absolutely. I would love that.
Yeah. We're on Instagram at choosefamily.
Okay, got it.
And we did that intentionally because we just really believe that there's an opportunity when you're faced with these difficult choices. You can choose sorrow. You can choose all these things. And we decided in those moments, we're going to choose family no matter what. So
love it. So we will definitely put that in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for your time today, Katie.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.